The scripture reading this morning will be from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed in a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Mark. Good morning, everyone. And so the lesson this morning is about the inspired Word of God. And I got a comment on the picture. Dan, I cut off a good portion of verse 2. It's supposed to go on and talk about the creation that Jesus was involved in. And I forgot, I hadn't noticed that picture cut that off. But the Kern River there was supposed to remind everybody that Jesus is the great creator also. Isn't that a beautiful place, though? A beautiful place. So I like to think about God's creation. So this morning I wanted to talk about the inspiration of the Scriptures, because if the Scriptures are inspired of God, then, you know, they're higher than anything else we have and can be trusted, can be relied upon, can be our guide for life. So I just wanted to remind us of what we already know, that the Scriptures are inspired of God. Over in Matthew chapter 24, 41 through 46, it says, "Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question. What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, then how does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies beneath your feet. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? No one was able to answer him a word, nor did anyone dare from that day on to ask him another question." Jesus was getting information directly from the Spirit of God. Jesus himself had studied the Scriptures as a man. Jesus had studied the Scriptures as a child. Jesus understood these things better than anyone there that he was speaking to. And often they would tend to try to one-up one another or challenge one another. And yet no one could deal with the wisdom with which Jesus spoke, because he was speaking the inspired Word of God. Notice it talks about, then how does David in the Spirit? Jesus says, David in the Spirit. The word there is pneuma. The word could be translated, or it could be translated this way, then how does David by inspiration call him Lord? It would mean the same thing. The idea that it's being spoken by the Spirit of God, by the wind of God, the desire of God, the proclamation of God, the utterance of God. And so David was inspired, and we know that he was. We can see through the Scriptures as David wrote things like the Psalms, where he spoke of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, spoke of the details of the dividing of his garments and how one would not be torn. So many things that were written 1,000 years before Jesus was crucified that came from the pen of King David, a man inspired of God. And we should consider how long and how much those people who had studied those Scriptures wanted to know what all of these things would mean. They'd pick up the book of Isaiah and not fully understand it. They'd pick up the writings of David and not really know for sure who he was talking about. For example, when the Ethiopian was traveling in Acts chapter 8, he was reading the prophet Isaiah, and he had to ask, who is this man talking about, himself or someone else? And yet, we have the great privilege and blessing of the fact that these have been revealed to us, explained to us, have been done before our lifetime, and we can look back and see what all of these things meant. Peter writes about this in 1 Peter 1, 10 through 12. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries. That would come to who? Well, the Christians of the first century and us. seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Peter and the other apostles stood up on the day of Pentecost and spoke from what the Spirit of God had supplied them with. And people had for a long time been wanting to know. And there were many people in the world searching out these writings that were coming from the Hebrew people. As an example of that, you had kings coming from the East at the birth of Jesus because they had seen those scriptures and they were trying to understand what those things mean. And even though they weren't covenant related to God, they were putting the pieces together and understood that a great event had taken place because of what they had read in the Hebrew scriptures. We have been given real understanding of real prophecy, and we can have confidence in the fact that this is not the invention of mankind. After 5 years in China, I came back to America and I wanted to buy a Bible, and every time I open it, a new one in the store, it says printed in China. While Christians are being killed in China, we're printing Bibles in China. What kind of a situation is that? Recently, I found one that was printed in Korea, but it didn't say North or South, so I didn't buy it. And so here's my old, this is Gorilla Tape, folks. Gorilla Tape, because I'm not going to buy a Bible printed in China. Well, I have actually bought several, but I gave them to Chinese people. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Peter had seen the fulfillment of prophecy. He had lived the fulfillment of prophecy. He was part of the fulfillment of prophecy when he was there on the day of Pentecost and Jesus had predicted what would happen on that day. Peter knew all about this, and he reminds us that this is from God, not from man. Big difference there, isn't it? Because we tend to go astray in many different ways. We'll even have our Bibles printed in communist countries where they're killing Christians. Much has been revealed, and God has prepared even more for us. We should be eager to see, hear, and take it to heart. 1 Corinthians 2:9-11, but just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. So many more things that we have yet to learn, and I guess we'll wait until the Lord comes again, and we're going to understand things a whole lot better. But we want to be sure that we understand that this is enough right here to give us the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding to get to heaven. By searching these scriptures, by knowing what this says, we can know what we need to do in order to have salvation and everlasting life, to stay and walk with Jesus. He says, "For to us God revealed them." Now, Paul is an apostle. He says, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God." So we have a direct line into the mind and heart of God by listening to what was spoken by those who were inspired of God, what was written by those who were inspired of God so many long years ago. There are other sources of knowledge and wisdom in the world, but they're not from God. There's only one source of wisdom and knowledge from God. God's Word is our channel into God's own mind and God's own heart. 1 Corinthians 2:12-13, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. These words that have come to us from the apostles and prophets of the first century and before are words that we can rely on as being the true mind and heart of our God. What an amazing blessing to know the mind of Jesus, to know the mind of the one who made us, to know the mind of God, to be able to pick it up, to be able to learn it, to be able to memorize it, to be able to believe it, to be able to study it, to be able to compare passages till we get it right and understand what it really means. But we have to believe it, or we're not going to get the message. If we pick it up and think it's just a textbook, it doesn't quite work that way. There's a power inside of the Word of God that works on our hearts and works on our minds, but only if we trust it, only if we allow it, only if we believe it. 1 Corinthians 2:14 through 16, "But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised." Does this mean we can't understand the Word of God? No, it means that if we don't change our mind about the Word of God to receive it as the Word of God, then we will not understand it. But if we read it and see it and use it as it is, the inspired, God-breathed Word, then it will have a profound effect on ourselves, our souls, our lives, and others around us. "But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." The world in its wisdom cannot say that it has the mind of Christ. It cannot say that it really knows God, because in its natural state, it isn't receiving the communication until it turns itself over to be molded by the great potter of the clay. And here there's evidence that when we read, we can understand. If Paul wrote to the Ephesians and said, "When you read, you can understand," that means we can understand too. Amen? Ephesians 3, 1 through 5, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation," inspiration, "there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand." By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Do you want to understand? Believe it's the Word of God. Trust it. Read it. You can understand. "Which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit." So Paul is saying basically the same thing that Peter said, that men long ago were inspired by God to speak and to write, and not really understanding the things they were speaking and writing, and waiting and hoping and wishing to understand those things or to see the fulfillment. And here we are standing and looking back at those things, having seen what they mean and how they were fulfilled. When you read, you can understand what the apostle has written. God has provided all necessary resources for us to know him, all necessary resources for us to become equipped to serve him, all necessary resources for us to become like him and his son. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, "And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers." Whenever somebody calls me a pastor, I say, please read Ephesians 4, 11. And then they see there's a difference in these things. "For the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ." So you see a process taking place where God provided apostles and he provided prophets there in the first century. Even in the book of Ephesians, it says that the church is built upon the words of those apostles and prophets in the first century. You can read that in chapter 2 of Ephesians, and that Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone, the one that everything must align to in order to be perfect. And we can become like him by using the words that they have provided and practicing the walk that they teach. We are guaranteed to grow and to be able to do our work successfully if we let them teach us from the mind of Christ, because they were inspired by God. They were told what God is thinking. They were told what Jesus likes and doesn't like. In Ephesians 4, 14 through 16, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplied, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So as we reject falsehood because we have learned the truth, we allow the truth to work in us, we begin to speak the truth to others in love, and we begin to grow and grow and grow and do our part individually and corporately in the body of Christ. The Colossians, I think, are a good example of showing the success of what God wanted to happen in a Christian. A good example for every Christian. Colossians 1, 3 through 6, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world also, it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. That's a great compliment that the apostle pays to the Christians at Colossae. That he's saying, God's word is obviously at work in you. And it'd be good if that could be said about any of us, amen. I can see God's word is at work in you. And certainly I think if you look back on your lives from the time you were a brand new baby Christian until now, you can see some changes that have been made in your life for the better because you have allowed the hands of the Creator to mold you into what he wants you to be. Epaphras is an example of one who had learned from the apostles and the prophets of the first century. He was an evangelist, and he went and he taught those at Colossae. It's an example of the successful use of the resources that God has given, as he spoke of in Ephesians 4:11, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints so that they would all be ready to do to do their work collectively and individually. Colossians 1, 7 through 8, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bond servant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, and he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. So Timothy and Epaphras and Titus, these were the kind of guys that Paul could send somewhere and they would do their job, amen? And their job was to teach what the apostles had taught them, and so that people could become what Christ wants them to be. Increased knowledge is not just for the sake of knowledge. Knowing all about this book, some people, they read it and they get the book knowledge, textbook knowledge out of it. They might even still be an atheist or an agnostic or a fool. But if you read it with faith and you love God and you let it speak to you and you let it change you, then it's far more than simple knowledge. Colossians 1, 9 through 12, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that, purpose statement, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. This book has the power to do what psychiatrists and psychologists and doctors have not been able to do. I mean, we love psychiatrists and doctors when we need them and they help us, but this is a far greater power. The change that this makes in you is eternal. Knowing His word through His apostles and prophets, we can also know what to speak on any occasion. You know, I've often envied the apostles because Jesus told them, no matter what you come up against, you're going to know what to say, you know. It's like, hey, I wish I had some of that, you know. But then I realize I do. As long as I put this in my mind and in my heart, I do. And I've even seen evidence of me suddenly answering somebody with wisdom that wasn't from me. And I remember, oh, I got that from the Word of God, didn't I? And so I don't need to be envious anymore because I have the same resource that they had, except I'm getting it from this book and they were getting it directly from God. Yeah. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, Matthew 10:16-20. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves, but beware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues, and you will even be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you are to say, for it will be given you in that hour what you are to say. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. I remember standing in the police station in China waiting to get my resident visa approved, and the man with pretty good English was questioning me, looking at my diplomas and saying, what does cultural anthropology have to do with teaching English? And I said, oh no, look down at the bachelor's degree, speech and communication. And he said, oh, okay. And I had never even thought about that, you know, because I was up there, you know, pretending to be an English teacher. And, well, I better stop there. But anyway, but yet it just came to me, oh, look at the other degree. Look at the other degree, speech and communication. See, I'm going to be teaching them to speak English. And he looked at me kind of sideways and smiled and stamped my passport. I thought, well, this is a nice guy. Some knowledge is from God, some wisdom is from God. However, we must beware, because some wisdom and some knowledge is definitely not from God. 2 Corinthians 11:3-4, but I am afraid that as the serpent, you remember that serpent? He wasn't given knowledge and wisdom from God, was he? I mean, he wasn't telling Eve like it was. He was telling Eve like he wanted it to be, right? But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. Whoops. Hey, we need to be better than that, don't we? Corinth had a lot of issues, but you know, we have some too. We better be careful that we don't start listening to something as if it were gospel. Somebody said the other day, it might have been Brother McClung there, that if we hear a lie often enough, it sounds like truth, you know? And so we have to be careful. We hear a lot of lies. Oh, we hear a lot of lies. Woo! Galatians 1:6-9, Paul was kind of fed up with what was happening when those liars would go out to preach. He says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a different or a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. And we know that word is anathema in the Greek, and that means doors closed on heaven for you, buddy. And so as we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. Galatians 1:10 through 12, for am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? You know, people were murmuring about Paul, saying, well, who is this guy really, you know? He's just going around trying to get, you know, win our favor. Am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. Now here's a key point, isn't it? The gospel which was preached by Paul and the other apostles and the prophets of the first century was not according to man, man, but was from the mind and from the heart of God, inspired. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Galatians 5:16 through 18, we can know how to live by understanding the Word of God. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. That opposition word is a word for warfare. These things are fighting against each other. We need to remove the desires of the flesh and the thinking of the flesh and the deceitful heart that's in us through knowing and following the Word of God, which we can understand. Galatians 5:19 through 21, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul has clearly indicated a closed door on these situations where a false gospel is preached, or where people choose to follow the deeds of the flesh instead of the leading of the Spirit through the written Word of God. If we love God, we will want to learn God's ways and live our lives in the way that makes peace with God and peace with one another, and we will want to make God happy. My little son brings me desert dandelions to make me happy. We'd all ought to want to make our Father in heaven happy. Happy, you know. Galatians 5:22 through 26, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Make your own list of those sort of things, and there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. So if we make a list like that, we'd make it from our knowledge of the Word of God and our understanding. And then here's a spot where Paul says, here, let me show you how you use your spirituality. Let me show you how you use your maturity in Christ. Let me show how you use your knowledge and understanding. It's not just to say, I know it all, but it's to have a practical application to help yourself and other people to make it to heaven from this life. Galatians 6:1, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Just as Paul said in Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. And so to practice these things, we have to know what things are wrong so that if we see someone doing something wrong, we can recognize that and help them, especially if they're captivated by it. And we need to know how to be a spiritual person ourselves, so that we can approach that person and give the spiritual help that they need and so that we can also beware that we don't get drugged down into that malicious gossip or other types of, millions of types of sins that we could get into. We have all heard plenty of lies. We should always prefer words that are faithful and true. Blessed are those who heed those words. Think about the word heed for a minute, would you? And ask yourself, well, just what really does that word heed mean? And we'll get to it as we go along. Revelation 22, 6 through 7. And he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. So two important words here, aside from all the rest, are heeds and prophecy. We should heed the inspired word of God because prophecy is inspired. That means to guard it within us that we don't lose it or turn away from it. The Greek word tereo simply means to watch over or to guard. To heed the word that God is speaking to us means that we take it into us and we guard it there. We keep it there. We watch over it there so that it can work in us to change us. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the inspired prophecy of this book. Greek word prophetia, definition prophecy, prophetic utterance. Revelation 22:7, and behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. Quickly could be any minute, amen? It sure could. In God's time frame, and we don't understand that, but it could be any second. Through Jesus, John writes. Through John's writing, Jesus speaks. And Jesus says, the Spirit and the bride is his church, that's us, invite you to come to him. If you're not yet a part of the bride, the body of Christ, the one that he died for, the one that he gave his life for, you need to have heard his word, believed his word, taken it in you and allowed it to start to change you. And you need to repent of your sins and you need to be buried in baptism beneath the water where your old self dies and you are born again in Jesus Christ. Burial in baptism for the forgiveness of sins and to receive the gift of the indwelling of the Spirit of God to mark you as God's property to be redeemed on the day of judgment if faithful till that day. Revelation 22, 16 through 17. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. How does David in the Spirit call him Lord? Because Jesus is the Son of David, as God had set it up, as God had planned it to be. From the lineage of David would come a Savior for the entire world. Have you taken advantage of the opportunity that he died to give you? We offer you the opportunity as we stand and as we sing.